So this is Parsha Shemini. If you've been paying attention during the week, we've been reading the same Parsha for the past 3 weeks as we're getting through through Pesach. And basically, Yom Shemini was the eighth day of the inauguration of the opening celebration of the Mishkan, and it was the opening day, which evidently was Thursday. Is that right for St. Louis Cardinals? But here's this we look at the story of Yom HaShmini, that eighth day of the Miluim. Vayhi b'Yom HaShmini, and was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe l'Aron u'banav. Moshe calls Aaron and Aaron's children, Uzikne Yisrael, and all the elders. Yomer al Aaron, and he tells Aaron before all the leaders, Kachacha elu b'bakar, you need to take a calf. L'chatad is a sin offering. V'ayolo l'atvimim. And an unblemished ram for an olah, a krila hakrev l'fnei Hashem, and offered before God. You're going to bring the sacrifices. 7 days, Moshe has been doing all the work. He's been the Kohen. Now it's Aaron's turn to be the Kohen. But B'nai Yisrael is dead barely more. And you need to tell B'nai Yisrael and tell them, kechusi irizim l'chatat, you, B'nai Yisrael, as a community, are taking a goat as a chatat, ve'egel v'cheves B'nai Shanat, p'mim l'olah, and a calf and a you, a sheep, as an olah, b'shor ba'ayel shlamim, and an ox and a ram for shlamim. There's both l'tnei Hashem to sacrifice before God, u'mincha b'lo b'shemen, and a flower offering with oil. Ki hayom Hashem nira aleichem, because today is the day that Hashem will appear to you. This is the big day. The glory of Hashem came at Mamar HaSinai, which was a little less than a year before this. They sin with the egel hazah, with the golden calf, and the Shekhinah has been gone. Today, it will come back. So everyone takes with everything that Moshe commanded before the Moed, for Mishkan, and all the people stood before God. I don't know how many all was. I'm sure most people stayed home. Like, it couldn't have been all 600,000. But there's a crowd in front of the Mishkan. And Moshe tells them all, this is what God commanded. So you do this, and now the glory of God will appear to you, before you. And Moshe turns to Aaron and says, come close to the altar. And you need to do your sacrifices, and do the kapara, this is the chatat, and you do the sacrifices of the people, and atone for them, and do everything that God commanded. Aaron was back, and Aaron comes to the altar, the calf, and then we have another 20 psukim of all the details and of all the sacrifices that are offered for that day. And that whole long list of details ends with the chazot, with the shoki amin, and the brisket, and the right foreleg from the shlamim. That was Aaron's portion to eat. And if Aaron tufa, Aaron waves him in front of God. Kachetzi v'Hashem, Hashem commanded Moshe. Vayisa Aaron et yadav el ha'am, and then Aaron lifts his hand before the people. Vayivarchem, blesses them. Vayirin me'asot ha'chatat v'alav v'shlamim, and he comes down from doing all these karbanot. And Moshe and Aaron came into the Mishkan, into the Olmoed, and they went out, and they blessed the people. And that's when the glory of God appeared to the people. And what happened? And fire comes out from before God, from the Kodesh Kodeshim. Fire comes out, and it consumes everything that's on the altar. The olah, and then all the chaylev, all the internal organs from all the other sacrifices, by Yar Kol Am, and the people will see this, by Yeronu, and they cheer, by you blow up in a hem, and they fall down on their faces, they bow. And I put it because it's a separate parak here, if you look at the parak divisions, but it's a single paragraph. So what happens, and really at the same time, by Chu B'nei Aaron Nadav Anaviyu, and Aaron's sons, Nadav Anaviyu, take each machatoef, each one takes their own fire pan, like Nuva and Esh, and they put fire in there, put coals in there, by Simon like a Torah, put some incense on there, by Yakrivul to Hashem, Esh Zara. And they bring a strange fire before God. They were not commanded. And the fire comes out. Again, we'll interpret this the way the Rashbam does. That's the same tetzeh, the same fire that happened to previous pasuk. It's all happening at the same time. That fire comes out from the Kodesh Kodashim, Batochol Atam consumes them as well, by Mutu Pnei Hashem, and they die. That's the story of Yom HaShmini. And there's lots of explanations of what happened to Nadav and Avihu and why this happened, what they were doing. I actually want to look at the previous pasuk before all that. If you're paying attention, it says, after Aaron blessed the people and comes down from doing the sacrifice, it says, by Abo Moshe Aaron El Omoed, Moshe and Aaron go into the Omoed, by Yitzu, and they go out. What's that all about? Doesn't say they do anything. They just go in, go out, bless the people, and by Yirah Kavod Hashem. So we're going to look at Rashi's answer. That's coming up. First, we're going to look at the previous pasuk. What was going on that they went into the Ohel Moed? It says, "Vayisa Aaron et yadav el ha'am." Aaron lifts his hands toward the people, "Vayibarchem," and blesses them. We know what we have the sense of what that is because we see that right over Yantav. We've seen that. That's the Nesiat Kapayim. The Kohanim go up, they raise their hands with a little, Vulcan salute, and they give the bracha. But that actual bracha isn't described until Parshat Naso, which we're not going to read for another 6 weeks. It's much later in the Torah. And that's here in source two. By the Ber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Hashem tells Moshe, the Ber El Aaron Vel Banav Lemor, you need to tell Aaron, his children, to tell the following, Kote Baruch Hu Ben Israel, this is the bracha you need from Israel, and Mor Lehem, you need to say it to them, Yivarech Hashem V'Yishem Recha, Yerav Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yimnech, Yisad Hashem Panav Elecha V'Tzeh Shalom. We all know that. So Moshe Mil Ben Israel, and they will place my name, say my name, I'm Ben Israel, Ben Yivarechim, and I will bless them. That's the bracha. The fact that it doesn't come later isn't really a problem because this is all the same day. I'm going to say, I realize that, but about 20% of the entire Torah from Parshat Pekudei, however many weeks ago that was, 4 weeks ago, through Parshat Balotcha, another 2 months, all are describing this events of this one single day, this Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Lots of flash forwards, foreshadowing flashbacks about what's going on, but really it's all of these parashiyot are all happening on the same day, almost simultaneously. There's all this celebration of building the Mishkan. And that's what Rashi says about Bayom HaShmini, this eighth day of Miluim, which was the first day of Nisan, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, La Miluim, the eighth day of the Miluim of the inauguration ceremony, Hu Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hu Kam Mishkan. That's Rosh Chodesh Nisan when the Mishkan was built. That day, and so the Seder Olam says that it had 10 crowns. There are 10 major occurrences that happened on that day all simultaneously. So the commandment to bless the people isn't written down until much later, but really it happened before. Aaron knew it, so that was the bracha he gives to them. And that's what Rashi says, by Baruchim. He says, Birchat Kohanim, when he says, Yivarecha Ya'er Nisa. And the Gorari explaining, well, how does Rashi know that? Because the pasuk just says, Aaron blesses them. That we don't have any text for what this bracha was. Lo yadano mahi, and we don't know what it is. And we see it listed somewhere else. And midas zuhi ba Torah, this is an important principle in understanding the Torah, is yalpina satu min furash, that we learn from place where it doesn't explain it, the text that's in somewhere else will explain what's not quite clear here. So that makes sense. But then right afterwards, and I'm gonna look at Sfari. You can see Sfari up over here. So we can go through all the text together. Let's put some Nikud on here. There we go. Right before Vayisa Aaron et Yadav El Ha'am, right before he blesses them, raises his hands, it says, It says right afterwards, rather. He blesses the people, and it says, Vayered Me'asot HaChatat Ba'olav Shlamim. He goes down. Goes down from where? What's it telling me? And Rashi says, Vayered Me'al Mizbeach. He's going down from the altar. And the Sifrei Chachamim commenting on Rashi says what that means is Lo she'irah mi'mekom nesiat kapayim. It wasn't that the text isn't telling us that he's going down from the dukhan, from the platform of giving the bracha. It's he's going down from the Mizbeach. That's where he was. Why is that important? Why is the Torah need to emphasize this? Aaron goes up to Mizbeach, he does his sacrifices on the top of the Mizbeach, he blessed the people from on top of the Mizbeach, and then he goes down. So what? Why tell me that? Why do I care where he was? What's the Vayered? Why is that so important to tell me that it's going down? So the Gemara gives a kind of a drush answer. The halachically, it's telling us that's connecting the Avoda to Nesiat Kapayim, that Birkat Kohanim has to be part of the Avoda. If you get the OU's Shabbat Shalom weekly email, Rabbi Ganach's Bar Torah talks about that, the connection between Avoda and Birkat Kohanim, and how our davening is replaced the Avoda, so that's why we have Birkat Kohanim inside the Avoda. Fiat Gemara Sota, Amri Shub and Levi, Kol Kohen Eina Ola Bavoda, Shub Eina Ola. That the Kohen, when they're going up to give the bracha, they need to go up in the bracha bavoda, in bracha ritzei, because that's when they go up. So the bracha is actually given in the bracha of Sim Shalom, but they need to be up there on the bima before that, in the bracha of the avoda. It says, Vaisa Aaron Kayada, Beta'a, Ela'a, Vebrachem, that Aaron lifts his hands, bless the people, that's the Birkat Kohanim, Vayer Me'asoda Chatat Parola V'Ashlamim, and then he goes down from doing the Avoda, connecting the Avoda to Birkat Kohanim. Malahana Bavoda Akam Bavoda. So that's a halachic drash on the Pasuk. So the Tziv says, well, let's look at the Peshat. What's the Peshat of telling us Aaron blesses the people, and then he goes down? Is the Emek Davar, the Nitziv. Vayere Mesod, Aaron went down. Yadua Breita B'Tar Kohanim, the Avoda Kodemet L'Birka Kohanim. And we know the Sifra and V'Chenu Gemara B'Sota, which we just quoted, the Gemara says the same thing, that the Avoda has to be before the Birka Kohanim, that the two of them are connected to each other. But when the Koma Kom, Eina Mikra Yodsei Midei Peshuto. Still, we still have to look at Peshat. This is telling us a story. There's a narrative here. Aaron does all the ritual of sacrifice. He's on top of the Mizbeach. He blesses the people and then goes down. This is what the idea is. Aaron offered all these sacrifices on top of the Mizbeach. But there's no fire there. Remember, the fire doesn't come down until afterwards when the fire comes out. So basically, there's all these animal sacrifices. They're all arranged there. They're all piled on top of each other, and there's no fire. The Prayer of Vayikter, when it says Vayikter, he offered it. Mashka Tuva Rashbam, when he quotes the Rashbam, explains it. He puts the meat on the altar. And when the fire comes from heaven, that's part of the miracle. That's when it's actually offered. He's up on the altar, he's placed the sacrifices there, and he blesses the people. But the fire itself, coming from heaven, coming from Kodesh Kodeshim, with the Hashem, doesn't come down for Dunz to Psukim after Aaron comes down. And here's the connection. There we go. So it's by Aaron, he blesses the people, by Yerid, he goes down. And then by Bo Moshe Aaron Omaleid and Moshe and Aaron go into the Mishkan, and then Vayitzei come out by Yevarachuat Am, they bless people again, and then by Yerakavod Hashem Akol Am, and then the glory of God appears, as Rashi says, Yerakavod Am Ketzad. How does it appear? Vayitzei Esh B'Tnei Hashem, Vatochal Am Mizbeach. Then the fire comes out. The image we have is Aaron's on top of the Mizbeach. He set up the sacrifices that he's going to bring. He turns to the people and blesses them. And then what happens is nothing. And he's just standing there. It's not supposed to work. What's supposed to happen? He blesses the people, and then Kavod Hashem appears. We have exactly the same story when Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash. This is in Divrei Yamim. says by Yaseva Melech HaPanav. This is Shlomo. He's built the Beit Midrash. This is his inauguration ceremony. The king turns to the people by Baruch and Kol Kal Yisrael. He blesses the people there. Kol Kal Yisrael Amen. And all the people are standing in front of him. And then he has this long 50 pasuk tefillah that he gives. And then Uchalot Shlomo's Palel. And then when Shlomo finishes his prayer, Va'esh Yodam Yashamayim, fire comes from heaven, Va'tochal Ha'olav Hazbachim. That's a sign of God's approval. The fire comes down, consumes all the sacrifice on the altar. V'chvod Hashem Malayat Bayat, and they see this glory of God, this physical manifestation. V'chlu HaKohanim Lavo Beit Hashem, the Kohanim couldn't go inside, Ki Malay Kvod Hashem at the Beit Hashem, because the glory of God filled the Beit Hashem. As opposed to what happened with Nadavihu, where they're there. They didn't take that warning, and they're there when this kavod appears. Hobin Yisrael, Roim, Ridat Ha'ish, and the people see when the fire comes down, Chvod Hashem Alabayit, and they see the kavod, the glory of God, this physical manifestation of the fire coming down. And they bow down on the spot to the floor, Vayishtachavu, Vadot Lashem Kitov Kim Chasto, and they say to him, Hodot Lashem Kitov Kim Chasto. Right, that's the same thing happens in our Pesachim. When the fire finally comes down, it's by Yarkol Am, by Arona, they see it, they praise God, they pull up in him, they bow down. But it doesn't come down when Aaron blesses the people. So this by Yered Me'asot HaChatat Va'Allah, that Aaron comes down from the ramp to the Mizbeah, after he blesses them, is Aaron's failure. Standing there, nothing happens. And then he comes down the ramp. No fire from heaven. This is supposed to be the return of the Kodesh Shem, right? They last experienced it at Mamre HaSinai. They lost Masa Egel and nothing happened. I didn't realize I've been reading that very shallowly. But so, you know, but really this is the idea that Aaron comes down from his Beach without any fire, without any sign from God, without any Kavod Hashem. That really is a sign that this whole point of Mishkan has failed. Which gives us a little bit of understanding of what happened with Nadav and Avihu, the sons. They brought their Esh Sarah, strange fire, because they weren't wrong. Okay, we know the halacha, beginning of Sefer Vayikra, the halacha is, Natnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Esh HaMizbeach. Right, the Kohanim are supposed to bring fire, bring to light the fire that's on the altar. And they should set up the pyre, the wood that's on the fire. And Sifra says about this, even though fire is supposed to come down from heaven, you should bring your own fire. So Nadav and Avihu know what's supposed to happen. There's no fire from heaven. What are you supposed to do? Light the fire. You have to bring these sacrifices. What are you going to do? So that's where the Rashi puts it. That Bnei Aaron took Esh Zarah, a fire that was not commanded, Kodem Shiyatza Esh Mepnei Hashem, before the fire came out, Kvar Lachu Ish Machtato, they had taken their fire pans. Then Tuba had Esh Zarah, Shalos Hivah Tam Moshe, Vayamazan, they put the fire that had not been commanded, Sha'afal Pish Bashar Yamim, even though normally, any other day, Ketiyah, that Nu Bnei Aaron Esh on his Beach, that normally you're supposed to, you know, just light the fire. That's what it's there for. Hayom Lutziva. That day Moshe didn't say anything. Moshe didn't want them to bring their own non-miraculous fire. Because they were waiting, anticipating that Hashem would demonstrate his presence by the fire of Hashem. So this is not the right day to do it. To do this, to sanctify God's name, they wanted to see the miracle. So what was their error? That's what Rashi explains it. Their error was in not asking Moshe first. What happened? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo metu b'nei Aaron, that Aaron's sons only died, ela al yidei shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbah. They made their own decision. That, okay, there's no fire. I was waiting up there for the miraculous fire. It's not happening. We're gonna have to do something, take matter into our own hands. We've been learning these halakhas from Uncle Moshe for the past 6 months. We know what we're supposed to do. They're gonna bring it. They should have asked. Moshe knew that if he just give it some time, the fire will come. They did. They jumped ahead. But fundamentally, still, there's this pause there where what you expect, this miracle that everyone's expecting, doesn't happen. So what does Aaron do? He trudges down the ramp. Nothing happened. No divine fire in sight. So that's what that next pasuk is. The question was, why do we have by Avo Moshe Aaron Ol Moed? Why did Moshe and Aaron go into the Ol Moed, then they go out, and then bless the people again? The answer is, Bitbalel Sheiteret Ha'esh. They go to the David. They have the tefillah. Please God, we need this miracle. We're expecting this to happen. So Rashi on that actually brings two different explanations. Why do Moshe and Aaron go in and then go out? That's source 18. By Vom Moshe Aaron El Ol Moed Lama Nichnasu. Why did they go in? Matzati Beparshat Miluim Bebrayta Hanosefet Al Torah Kohanim Shalano. So he says, first I'm going to give you a midrash from Torah Kohanim. That's he said he found it, not the standard text. Lama Nichnas Moshe Im Aaron. Why did Moshe go in with Aaron? Lulam Do Al Masa Ketori. You want to teach him about bringing the Ketorah, bringing the incense, which is on the Mizbeach, the gold altar that's inside the Mishkan. What does that have to do with anything? Let's come back to that. But Davar Afkar, the second reason, goes with Rashbam. He expands on Rashbam's reason. They go inside to pray. Kevan Shara Aaron Shekarbu Karbanot. Once Aaron saw that they had offered all the Karbanot, but Nasu Kol Masim, and did everything right, Loyer Dashkina Yisrael, and there's no manifestation of God. Haya Mr. Erva Omer. Aaron was miserable. And he said, Yado Anisha, Kazak Harsh Baruch Hu Alai. I know this is all my fault. Right? There's no Shekhinah here, and this is my fault. God is angry with me. It's because of me that the Shekhinah hasn't appeared. Amar lo Moshe, Amar lo Moshe. So he tells Moshe, Moshe achi, Moshe my brother, kacha siti li shenechnasti v'nibayishti. What are you doing to me? You made me go up there, offer the karbanot. I did everything, and now I'm humiliated in front of all Bnei Israel. I failed as the Kohen. Miad nechnas Moshe imos. Moshe brings him into the Mishkan, ubikshu rachamim, and he asks for mercy. V'yard hashkina Israel, and then it worked. Then the fire came down. So, why does Aaron think this is all his fault? Because the reason Shekhinah was gone from Israel because of the Begel Zahav, which is what Aaron had made, right? Way back, Parsha Kitisa. Vaygof Hashem et Am, and Hashem sent plague to the people. Al Asher Asu et Egel, because they made that golden calf, Asher Asa Aaron, that Aaron had made. Aaron feels that this whole thing is his fault, and if he cannot possibly be the Kohen, because he's the reason the Shekhinah is gone in the first place. And from the very beginning, back in Pasuk Zion, when it says, let's go back to here, way back there, when Moshe is giving them the commandments, Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Krav al Mizbeach. Moshe tells Aaron, come close to the altar, Vaseh Chatatcha, and do all of your sacrifices. So you got to tell him, you got to come here, Krav al Mizbeach. What does that mean? Rashi says, Aaron was ashamed, didn't want to go anywhere near it. From the very beginning, he didn't want to do all these sacrifices, he doesn't want to do this. Aaron Moshe tells him, Lamata Bush, why are you so ashamed? You were chosen for this. This is your job. So Aaron starts out knowing this is not going to work. He gets up there and it fails. And now they've come down. So now Moshe comes to Aaron and Moshe takes him, and it's apparently against his will, because it says it's Vayavo Moshe Aaron, the singular. So Moshe goes with Aaron, the singular. They go into the Mishkan. Going to Rashi, they pray. And then they go out together, because now it's the plural, Vayetzu. They go together. Both of them bless the people, Vayavachu et Aaron. And now it works. Vayavach Kavod Hashem, the glory of God appears. So what is this second bracha? Aaron's bracha was presumably was the saying the Birkat Kohanim again. And that's the Amakdabar, Bayatsubeh, Huata'am. We come to understand Pat Mim Birkat Kohanim, that they actually said the Birkat Kohanim twice. The Gemara says that the Birkat Kohanim, Benesiyat Kapayim, Haya Achar Avoda, that they would do Birkat Kohanim after doing the Avoda, after doing the sacrifices. But in the Beit HaMikdash, they would actually have the offering, they would have a tefillah there, and they do Birkat Kohanim part of that. Moshe Anu Maskirim B'tefillah, just like we do it in our tefillah. Just like that day, you stay pamim birkat kohanim. So too, Aaron did it as part of the avodah and also as part of this tefillah as well. So Aaron gives the birkat kohanim again, but Moshe isn't a kohen. He can't give birkat kohanim. His bracha was different. What was his bracha? That's right. Rashi interprets it. Amru v'hi nom Hashem Elokeinu aleinu. Parak Tehillim that we say every Shabbos, Tehillim Parak Tzadik, which I put it over here. It's called Tefillah Moshe Ish Elokeinu. This is the prayer of Moshe. Hashem, Ona Yita Lanu B'Davadar, you are our sanctuary in every generation. And the last lines of it are, Yera'el B'Decha Palecha, may your works appear to your people, B'Darcha Al B'Nehem, and your glory on all of their children. Yinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, and may the pleasantness, the serenity of God be upon us. Masei Dina Kona Aleinu, may establish the works of our hand. Masei Dina Koneu, may establish the works of our hand. That was his tefillah at this point. That's when Tefillah Moshe was said. Yirason Shetishre Shechina B'Masei Yedechem. May be God's will that the Shechina, that God appear in the works of your hands. That's what he's praying for right now, because that's what they need. Because all these seven previous days, when they're dedicating the Mishkan, Shemida Moshe the Mishkan, that Moshe set it up every day, Veshimeshbo, and Moshe served in there, Uparkuba Chol Yom, and they took it down every day, Lo Sharta Bo Shechina. There was no sense of the divine presence there. Yisrael nechlamim, and Bnei Yisrael were dismayed. But Omri said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol haTorah sheTorachnu, sheTishra Shechina b'neinu, all this work we did to build this Mishkan, to get the Shechina back, get God's presence back among us, v'neda shenechaper lanu al avon ha'egel, and that way we'll know that we were forgiven.
Let's take I-170 South Richmond Heights and I-64 East South Kings Highway Boulevard, thank you.
Got directions for somewhere there. So when the Shekhinah appears, the fire comes down, we'll know that God is back with us and we've been forgiven for what we did with the golden calf. But it hasn't happened. 7 days they're waiting, they're seeing it. Moshe builds it, takes it down, offers sacrifices, nothing. That's what he says, that today, do this today. Today is this Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Yerachem Kavod Hashem, and it will appear. Aaron is the one who can do this. He's more important than I am. He's the one who's going to be the Kohen. Because it's with his Kabanot and his service. Tishra Shechina B'Bachem, the Tedu Shemakom B'Charbo. You should know that Hashem has chosen him and chosen you, has returned here. That's his tefillah, he knows. And he says, Masidina.
Yeah, hey, can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Where is the whole thing with the sun? Was this them going into the Mishkan? Was that before the sons were killed or after?
That is, the way I'm looking at it is that is before the sons are killed. So they go into the Mishkan and they come out. And at that point, the sons are bringing their own fire. So Moshe and Aaron do their brachot at that point. As the Nadav and Avihu are trying to light the fire themselves, and then the fire comes out from the Kodesh Kodeshim, consumes the sacrifice on the altar, and consumes Nadav and Avihu.
Wow, what a process.
Yeah. They're you know, they saw their father's failure here, and they're going to fix it. Wrong, incorrect.
You can understand their feeling, right?
Right, absolutely. And you know what I'm saying? That's not, they weren't wrong. That is the halakha. That they just, he should have asked Moshe first and said, no, give it a little bit of time. We'll get there. So, because Moshe is going to give this tefillah here. And that's his tefillah here of say, please, God, appear. Right? That's what it says, Masayidu Nikonu Aleinu, that establish the work of our hands, Masayidu Nikonu Nehu, and establish the work of our hands. It repeats it. Rashi says, Shnei Pamim, repeats it. Right? Masayidu Nikonu Nehu. Echad Amlechad Mishkan, one asking God, accept the work of the Mishkan. Shebir Chal Yisrael, Yivalel Shev Tishra Shechina B'mas Yedehem B'Mishkan, that the Shechina should appear, acknowledge all the work they did in the Mishkan, V'achad Shetei Bracha B'mas Yedehem, and another, that there should be bracha on all the future work, that God should be with us now and in the future. Everything should have the Yerel of Adecha Palecha, appear before your people. So that's the end of the parak. Okay, that's, you know, that's pasuk tet zayin yud zayin. The end of the parak was Moshe's tefillah when he comes out of the Mishkan. Now, I assume that the rest of the parak, the beginning part, was his tefillah inside. He goes inside with Aaron, who has just come down from the Mishkan, from the Mizbeach, without any fire. Aaron has failed. He knows it's all his fault because God has not forgiven him for the cheda egel. And Moshe brings him inside and prays Davins with him in the inside the Mishkan. So what was that tefillah about? We know the words. We say it every week, and it talks about how infinite God is, ki elef shanim beinecha, ki yom etmol, that in your eyes, 1,000 years are like a single day, and it says, yimei shenateinu b'hem shivim shana, we live for 70 years, for 70. And I always read that. I actually looked at it as kind of shallowly as the message that we should be humble, right? We're only finite, we're going to die, we're mortal, so we need to obey God who's infinite. That's not what it's about. It's tefillah. It's a prayer for Hashem to recognize that we're only human. We're mortal, and that therefore God should forgive us because we can't do any better. We're going to look at the psukim of Perek Tzadik. Tefillah Moshe Yishalokim. So it starts out with, you are all powerful and you want us to do tshuva. B'terem harim yoladu, before the mountains were created, to chalel eres to tevel, and the world was born, me'alam, adalam, ata'el, forever, you are powerful. Teshev enosh adaka. You set man down to the, smash him down, literally, crush him down. Batomer shuvim ne'edam, you tell people, do tshuva, return. But 1,000 years are like a single day, kiyavar that passes. Bashmur balayla, like a watch in the night. But we're not infinite. Our days are finite. We can't get everything done. Right? Zeram tam shena yu, that sleep overcomes them, human beings. Bokar chatsir, kachatsir yachalof, we're renewed every morning. But bagwokar yatsitz b'chalof, we may be fresh in the morning. L'erevi molel v'yavich, by the evening, we're weak and dry, withered, dried. And then God punishes us for our sins. We're not denying that we deserve it. Hi chalino v'apecha, you crushed us, destroyed us with your anger. Hamadcha nepalnu, you have discomfited us, dismayed us in your anger. Shata abaratenu legedecha, our sins are always placed before you. Amlinu olamenu limor panecha, what's hidden from us, you know full well. It's by the light of your face. Because all our days, we're faced with your anger. And our years are wiped out in a moment, like a thought. Okay, that's how it happens to us. Our light is so fleeting. So we have no idea what you really want. So Hashem, please help us. That's what this tefillah is. We live for 70 years, we're strong for 80 years. Rabham Amel Ba'abel. And their treasure, the best parts of our lives are all toil and pain. He goes Chishvan Ufa because it's quickly cut off and flies away. That's very depressing. It's addressed to Hashem. I'm reminding Hashem, okay, remember, we're only finite. We only have so much time in this world. Nobody knows the strength of your anger, your techa, evratecha, and how much fear and anger that are appropriate for you. Teach us literally to count our days. In this sense, really, it's to make our days count. Especially in the Omer, that's the important message, right? We need to count every day, make it mean something. And bring us to have a heart of wisdom. That's our tefillah. Let us understand what we're supposed to do. But Hashem, turn from your anger, even if we haven't done teshuva. Teshuva Hashem ad matai. Return Hashem. How long will this last? Yinachem al avedecha. Have mercy on your servants. Savanu b'boker chastecha. Satisfy us in the morning, in this field, so the happy time with your chesed, with your mercy. And we will celebrate with you for all our lives. Give us joy corresponding to how much pain we've been on before. In our awful years that we've seen the evil. Right? We say that you started out in the beginning of the parak with Shuvah B'nei Adam, but we're saying back, Shuvah Hashem, Nechem Avedecha. No. We can't do it. We're just finite. We can't do this. We can't even do tshuva right. So Hashem, please turn back from your anger. And that's the idea. To err is human, to forgive divine. That's what we're asking for tshuva. So that fits the context of what we're assuming, right? That this is Moshe asking Hashem for forgiveness. Aaron sees himself as having sinned and as not being forgiven. And then it continues on with the idea of Yerel Vedecha. And then Moshe says, please appear to your servants. And then they go out and Vayirakvod Hashem El Kol Am. And in fact, Hashem listens and Shekhinah appears to everyone who said that. Why is that necessary at all? Why does Moshe need to ask for forgiveness for Chedah Ego? So Hashem had already forgiven Bnei Yisrael for Chedah Ego. That's what building the Mishkan was. It was a sign that they had been forgiven. That's back in Kfar Ketisa. This is Moshe talking to Hashem. This is 6 months before. If I have found favor, 8 months before. Yeah, I found favor in your eyes. Hashem, yelech na Hashem v'kirbeinu. God, please walk among us. Bring your Shekhinah here. Ki am ksherav oref hu, because the people are stiff-necked. The salach levaneinu. But even so, forgive our sins. V'chateinu v'nachaltanu. Forgive our sins and make us your aryeh nachal. Ayomer Hashem says back, hineinu chi karepri. Hashem says, fine. I agree. I will create a new covenant with you. Neged kol amcha senefot. I will do miracles before all the people. Hashem neil nevru b'chol aretz b'chol yim that had never before been done. Barak kol am asher atav kirbo. I must say Hashem kinerahu. And the people will see how awesome God is. Asher neil seimach. All these things I will do with you. Hashem has forgiven the people already. What's happening here? So I would propose that this tefillah of Moshe, it may be addressed to God. God, forgive us. But it was tended for Aaron. Hashem had forgiven Aaron. The Mishkan's there, but he had not forgiven himself. He expected to fail before he even started, right? Aaron Bush, we quoted that. But we don't, that. And if he starts out expecting to fail, there's no way he can succeed. And this is a nice quote from Tamar Tabak. Given a St. Louis connection, at Tamar Bortz. This is from the Eishet Torah site. But the most important part of tshuva is to trust in God's forgiveness and move on with joy. Then we too can forgive ourselves. Hashem had forgiven Aaron, but Aaron did not forgive himself. That's what he needs to learn. We prepare the broken tapestry of our souls, so that Moshe brings Aaron into the Mishkan, davens with him, pointing out that Hashem will in fact forgive, and Aaron needs to accept that forgiveness, and then he can bless the people. The Birkat Kohanim has to be done, the bracha says, "Berech the Yisrael ba'ahava," with love, both for the people and for himself. He has to accept himself as well. So that connects back to Rashi's first explanation. Moshe brings Aaron in to the Mishkan to teach him about the Maaseh Ketoret. And I think that's really is part of the same idea. Moshe wasn't telling him the avoda of the Ketoret, how did he offer the Ketoret, how to burn it. It was Maaseh Ketoret, how it's made. That's the message of the, and Leah's smiling over there because she knows where I'm going with this.
Yay.
What's the message of the Ketoret? The ingredients of the Ketoret teach us that we don't have to be perfect for Hashem to accept our prayers. And in fact, we need to trust in Hashem's ability to forgive. We need to accept the power of tshuva in order to serve Hashem at all. This Ketoret includes ingredients like chelbana, as Rashi says. Chelbana was a bosem, was an incense, was a spice. Shericho ra, that smelled terrible. The koral of galbana in Latin is galbanum. And it was one of the spices, one of the ingredients of the incense. Lamdenu teaches, that we should not take it lightly when part of our prayers, part of our fasting includes poshei Yisrael, sinners, that they should be part of the community as well. Accepting ourselves with all our human imperfections, is part of our Avodah Hashem. And that's the message of Aaron not seeing that coming down from the Mizbeach. Need to learn that and then going back, blessing the people, and then the Kavod Hashem appears to the people and they're successful in returning the Shekhinah to Bnei Israel. And I will stop here. Have a great Shabbos. Yeah.